Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hello and welcome to the show with me, Gillian Godsell. Today, I'm delighted to introduce my guest, Dr. Edmundo Martino, who is the president of the Santa Casa in Lisbon in Portugal. Good morning and welcome to the show, Edmundo.
Good morning, Gillian, and thank you so much.
No, this is very exciting. So you have a really, really illustrious career. And I'd like to talk a bit about from 1997, when you already had a well-established commercial career, you moved into the public sector. Why did you change from private to public sector? What was the initiative behind that?
Well, the first thing is that my background, my academic background is in the field of social sciences. But during a while, I did not, I was not attached in professionally to this field. But one day, by the time we launched in Portugal what we call the minimum income guarantee, I was challenged by the minister at the time to join the team that should put that up. And that's what happened.
So, okay. So your background.
Yes, exactly. So by that time, I made this shift, this career shift, moving from the private sector to the public sector in a certain way. And so that's where everything started for me at this stage of the career.
Yes. And what skill sets did you bring then? Obviously, your academia, you had the intellectual and academic background. But what skill sets did you bring from the private sector to the public sector?
Well, I think two main drivers, I would say. The first one is the importance of planning, which is not always a common objective for the public sector, not always. That is one of them. And the other one is the work for the objectives, no? And being very, very detailed and very focused on objectives and results. I think these are the two main things I brought, of course, beyond the personal experience. That is always an asset, I would say. But those are the two main points.
I'm very strong too, as well, because sometimes in the public sector, it's not seen as rigorous sometimes. And I know that that's a giant generalization, I understand, but I understand. So you're bringing from those very strong planning and detail from your private career into the public world. So you were said you were brought in with the minimum wage. So what
not
were the
minimum wage? It's the minimum revenue guarantee, which is a social service support to the most poor.
Okay. So what were the challenges? This is like back in 97. What are the challenges in providing social inclusion in Portugal then and now? Have they changed?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because the main point here is that organizations were not at that time ready to deal with a new income support that has been understood as a right for the persons. We moved from social assistance in the traditional way to a different one, where we had to make sure that people get access to the fruition of this right, and the organizations had to adapt to this new environment, together with a different approach regarding the establishment of commitments, either from the citizen or the family, with the social services. And this was very new. And we're still struggling with this, I would say. This question of social inclusion, we have just approved in Portugal a national strategy to combat poverty, with a special focus on child poverty. But we still struggle with this question of the support to families, not just using the money to support their lives, their daily lives, but also to support them in the process of development, personal development, and family development. And this is still a struggle, and it's our main obstacle for a complete inclusion of these persons, I would say.
So it's a more holistic approach, would you say, than perhaps to other countries? So it's not just the money, as you say, it's looking at the well-being of the family and of the child within the family?
Exactly, from housing to health issues to money, of course, to education. We have to understand that each person is a universe, and the universe is composed of different layers, different characteristics. So we need to approach them all, and not just one by one, if I explain myself correctly.
That's a very good analogy, yes. And that's quite different to other countries, isn't it, that holistic approach?
I don't know. Maybe what's different, it's not the approach, it's the capacity to put it in practice. That's the main problem, because everybody agrees that this is the right approach. But the point is the difficulty to put it on, because we have different layers of power, from local power to local authorities, national authorities. We have the civil society organizations, and to put all this together, moving in the same direction, it's not always easy. In some countries, maybe they have a different tradition about this. We still struggle in Portugal to get this done, but we've been improving. And I must say that the expectations are high about this, and that I think we will succeed.
I'm glad to hear that. So for you then, and you've been involved with many different initiatives throughout the years, but in 2016, you joined Santa Casa. So could you explain a little bit, it's a natural progression, but could you explain a little bit about the Santa Casa and what it does and its role in Portuguese society?
Yes, Santa Casa is a very, very important organization in Portugal in different senses. First of all, we manage the social gaming, the state social gaming, which means that we produce with our work and the work of our gaming department, we produce resources that are used in different areas of Portugal. And so we are quite an important, I'd say, resource for the public budget also, and for the budget of a number of organizations that depend on these resources to do their work. Then we have in Lisbon a particular work, which is all the questions of social support, health issues, culture, different assets that we own, that make Santa Casa in the city of Lisbon the main organization to support all those in need, whether the need is material, food, health, housing, refugees. So it's up to us, for the city of Lisbon, to produce and to make available all these kind of supports, which makes Santa Casa absolutely indispensable, I would say, for the life of many persons in the city of Lisbon. And of course, then we have quite a huge amount of assets, artistic assets, real estate, that has been accumulated through the years, through the different years. We are now in over 500 years of age. And this means that Santa Casa, with all these assets that we have, is also at the same time one of the major actors in the cultural field in Lisbon. And we are one of the major actors in the field of, for instance, housing and support to families. So it's a huge organization, very old, very rich in terms of its history, and which means that the impact that we have over families over the years, over the decades, over the centuries, and we still keep, we try to keep this direction and to try to keep our ability and our capacity to provide more and more services and more qualified services.
I think you're a very unique Portuguese institution, because before I have spoken to you and heard about Santa Casa, it's such an amazing organization. It's ancient, it's 500 years old, and there is a lot of artwork. I mean, you have an amazing museum, and your collections of art and religious art, and it's just a huge amount. But then, as I say, you're so up to date that you provide all these social services directly to the citizens of Lisbon and beyond. So tell me a little bit, I mean, like, even tell me about some of the artwork perhaps that you have, or some of the amazing antiquities that you have in the Museum of Santa Casa.
Yeah, because we have been gathering a lot of items through the centuries, and we make available at our museum and at our main church, because we also own the most beautiful church in Lisbon, say, the Church of Saint Roch, which in fact is a saint that is known as being a protector from plagues and other common diseases. It's very interesting, and it's a very interesting story, the story of Saint Roch. But anyhow, together in the church and the museum, and another new museum we're about to open, which is called the House of Asia, with the Asian art that we have been also collecting for a long time. But we have a very rich collection of religious art, paintings, reliquaries, relics. We have more than 400 relics of saints and other important persons in the story of the Catholic Church. And it's a huge amount of assets, of artworks of different kinds that they deserve a visit to the museum and to the church. Because in fact, we have priceless pieces here, either they are paintings or sculptures or reliquaries, which beautiful, beautiful pieces we have, beautiful and priceless, I would say, because in fact they are unique. Some of them are totally unique, and we are very proud of this. Our main goal at this stage is to preserve all these assets, of course, to enrich the collection. As I mentioned to you before, we are about to open a new museum just dedicated to Asian art, which will be also a landmark here for the city of Lisbon and for Portugal. So we keep on trying to improve our collections, trying to keep them totally safe and totally preserved, and of course developing it when it is possible and when possibilities are available.
You're right, it's an amazing, rich treasure trove that you have in the museum and church. And you also work with contemporary artists and contemporary, up to as modern as graffiti artists.
We do, and that's one of the areas we want to increase, is to support the young artists, to give them the possibility to expand their talents, either it is groups of Portuguese artists or even refugees that are now living in Portugal, and we want to support them, people with mental health issues, people with disabilities, where we have quite a number of artists that we should and we want to support and to help to develop their capacities. So it's one of our main drivers at the present.
So tell me, you actually mentioned that the Saint Roch was a protector against plagues. How did COVID impact Santa Casa?
Oh, it impacted a lot in two ways mainly. The first was our resources, because the pandemic period determined a very shortage in our revenues coming from the gaming, right? So we had to make some gymnastics here without the resources, because at the same time, and in a different sense, we increased a lot the requests. We saw an increase in the requests from citizens. We increased a lot the services that we were making available, just to mention food support, health support. We have created three units to receive people healed from COVID that did not need hospital care, but they needed to be isolated. So we had a lot of increase in the home care services, a number of areas where citizens requested more our support, and where we were obliged to increase our capacity to support them. So it was this double movement, shortage on the revenues and increase on the expenses with social support, that made the new challenge to Santa Casa. So we have to move on and be capable of giving a swift response to all these citizens, and at the same time trying to balance again our accounts. But we're still moving on, and especially everybody here at Santa Casa, and we are about almost more than 5,000 workers here. I'd say everybody is completely committed to move on and to, in the end, to accomplish what is our main goal: more services, better services, good causes.
Of course. So it's an interesting, because obviously COVID, from what you're saying, it the double whammy, say the increase in services and decrease in income. But the other thing that's very interesting about, I mean, and obviously you're stepping up to the mark, you are delivering and all your staff are committed to delivering. But what's interesting too as well is that for such an ancient institution, you're very modern. I mentioned earlier working graffiti, working with new artists, working, you know, taking care of things. So as part of that modernization, you are embracing the world of NFTs and blockchain to support the museum and to support your services. So tell me, first of all, when did you hear about NFTs, non-fungible tokens, and blockchain? When did they enter your world?
I cannot tell you the exact date, but it's very recent, no?
Yeah.
And there is a moment where we thought that this could be a very interesting opportunity. On one hand, to show our assets and to show all the items we have and make them available to everybody that wants to get acquainted with the richness of our museum and of our church and our different pieces. That's one side. And on the other side, we saw here a possibility of increasing the revenues through the NFTs and this new platform that we are going to launch. So it's not just a question of keeping Santa Casa modern, because not always new things are modern and not always new things are innovative. But this is a real case where I think we can take from this technology and from the support that this technology has all over the world, we just want to be on the first line of these solutions, and we will be, I imagine. At least at this stage, at least with this, in this field of our kind of items and artistic products.
So do you think it's an amazing innovative step, but do you think all museums need to think outside, especially COVID has given people a period of reflection when people cannot visit in person? Do you think all museums will move in this direction in the future?
I'm quite sure, and I think that our initiative will also determine a little bit what will happen next, because if we are successful and if we manage to show to the world our beautiful collections, and if this works, if people in fact adhere to this possibility, I think other museums will follow. We have even in Portugal already received some approaches from other museums. They want to understand how we are doing this, how this will go on if with success or without success, because in this kind of project, some things will go right, some things will not go that right. But that's a good lesson that we'll take from here. And I think the different museums have here a possibility, not only of expanding the knowledge of their collections, but also to eventually to increase their revenues through a source that does not, and that is so, so, so important, that does not damage the original pieces. They still keep there to be seen, but it's a way to increase the revenues and to manage these assets that we all have in Santa Casa for the number of pieces and for the importance of our collections is on the forefront of this process. And we hope to think first that we succeed, mm-hmm. and second, that this could be enlarged to other museums, to other organizations that could take our lessons to enter this amazing new world.
Well, I think, again, a compliment to you, Edmundo, Dr. Edmundo Martino, because Santa Casa is an amazing institution. It's just, I love it because it's a byword for charity in Portugal. It's so well known, but it has the antiquity and it has the assets, but it has that very modern and inclusive, the social inclusion portion, which is, you rarely get them to come together in one institution. It's a very unusual institution. And by also going forward, I think it's possibly driven by the fact that because you engage with your community, with your citizens in Lisbon and beyond, that's why you're moving in this direction, because museums need to not reinvent themselves, but figure out how they're going to be relevant in the future going forward. But why
to be live spaces and live institutions, no, that yeah. they do not sit on the assets and just stay there. We have to yeah. move ahead.
No, very exciting. I wish you every success. That's the most important thing.
And thank you.
Come back again to find out how it all goes when it launches in December. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Gillian. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Irish_Tech News, on Facebook, facebook.com/Irish Tech News, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.